No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of The Yard. Hope things are well with you wherever you are today. It is Friday. Hopefully it's a payday for you weekly and bi-weekly wage earners. Maybe it is. Get out and go do some fun stuff. It's hot out there. Stay hydrated. Use sunscreen. We'll have to do that today. We got a little family event over in Alabama. And, you know, I got to go to that too. So, you know, I love doing what we do, but I do enjoy getting out and seeing family. And so we'll go do that today, see the wife's family for a little while. And then we'll get on back. I mean, you guys need me here. I want to be here. I do enjoy hanging out with family, but when you run a couple of businesses, sometimes you don't get the ability to do that very often. So we'll take the afternoon, go spend it with them, and be right back here at Mission Control tonight. You never know. Your good friend and host may get a sunburn. Who knows? But nevertheless, hope you get out and enjoy the weekend some. And again, remind you, I know there's a lot of yard work to do. I've got a ton to do, to be honest with you. I do. And the more I look at it, the more depressed I get, because I think about, man, I got so much to do around this house. And I do. But we'll get to it. You know, we'll get to it. Things are calming down a little bit. The baseball portal will close on Tuesday. We're going to talk a lot about kind of what's going on right now. I know a lot of you are eager to kind of hear what we have to say, what we've learned about the A3 situation. I'll share that in our first segment. We've got a pretty cool top 10 list that I think will be educational as well as entertaining. Yeah, I'm always about correcting the record and doing our best to destroy revisionist narrative. There's a lot of that. A lot of people have a BS degree in revisionist history. You know, it's true. So we're going to attack some of that today, and then we'll talk a little bit about another opponent preview and some other things happening in the world of college athletics that we'll get to as well. So we look forward to having you with us today. And again, trying to get the show up earlier because, you know, when she shows up and it's time to go, it's time to go. So I wanted to give you guys your full 90 minutes, got up early, kind of got caught up on the message boards and, you know, checked emails, all those things you do to start your day. I don't know how you do your day, but as of late, I've been getting up earlier. That's not really my thing, but just kind of happens that way. Sometimes you got a radio to do, and sometimes these dogs are ready to go out before I am. And so you got to get up and deal with it, which means you go to bed earlier, too. You know, the older I get, the more I need that rest. But I remember those fun days, you know, in the summer. Thought about this yesterday. You know, like that first couple of weeks of summer when school's out, when you were a kid. And you got to sleep till around 10 o'clock and how cool that was. And then you became teenagers and you could sleep till noon or whatever, you know. I miss those days. But what I miss the most, I guess, are those, you know, the late nights just out with friends. Even when you weren't doing anything you weren't supposed to. You know what I mean? You know, that summer curfew. I guess when I was a kid, it was midnight. I think that's right. It was midnight until I got in college and I didn't have a curfew. I don't have one now either. I got my own car and everything. But what's interesting about that, I remember those carefree summer nights when, you know, we either go shoot basketball at FBC or, you know, you just kind of rode around town. You know, I remember that. And it's so incredible. When you're having those times, you think they're going to last forever. But in some ways, you kind of rush them away. You know what I mean? It's like you couldn't wait to get to college. You couldn't wait to get a job, to get your own place. And there's a trade-off in all of that. There's a trade-off in everything in life. So you don't get to have those carefree nights as often, you know, when you have to start working for a living. And so if you're one of those folks that maybe doesn't have those sense of obligations, let me encourage you, enjoy these days because they don't last forever. Now, I'm enjoying these days too. They're just different, right? They're different phases in life. And I feel like I'm a pretty young guy to be in my 50s. I do. I get out and have fun. But I hadn't been to a rock show in a couple of years. And I'll tell you, part of that, too, is like, you know, when Dana was a travel nurse, and as you guys remember me whining about that all the time on the show, you know, in the beginning of all of that, I'm like, well, hey, I can go to a rock show every weekend, or I can go every couple of weeks, and, you know, I'd have my buddies and Lily and Axe are on the road, or Faster Pussycat, or, you know, Shaman's Harvest, and so it seemed like every other week I was going somewhere, and then one day I thought, you know, I wouldn't want her doing this, even though I'm going to see my friends play. I don't know that I'd want her out doing that without me. And maybe that's insecure. You know, and some people would say it's controlling. But I just don't go to shows without the wife. I don't do it. And because we've started a new business, you know, which required so much of her attention. We'll go out and shoot pool with friends. And we've met some new friends here recently that, you know, we'll go to dinner with them and then maybe go to their place and just kind of hang out, listen to music and visit and talk. And you need that, you know. I mean, you got to do other things besides work, even though I enjoy the work so much. But, you know, I just believe that there is joy in life no matter what age you are. And my complete joy is not wrapped up in my children or even my grandchildren. And that's in no way am I saying that they don't add value to my life. They absolutely do. The reason I do so much of what I do is because of them. But I'm not this, quote, living for everybody else. I've got dreams and aspirations of my own. I got some other projects that I want to tackle. Matter of fact, I was on the phone last night talking with some folks about eventually doing the Mike Leach project. And, you know, we're going to do that when it's ready. You know, when the family is ready, that's when we'll do it. We're not going to do it before then. We're going to take our time with it. But I'm always working on something. Because I'm the kind of person that needs something to look forward to. You know, if I just felt like all there is to do is to just work every day and go pay the mortgage, I mean, just let me off the train, right? I mean, there's got to be more to life than that. And if you're one of those people that's living with that, maybe you're in the minutia of all of that, and in the normal routine of like, man, all we're doing is like, you know, working all day every day to pay the mortgage and make sure that we get the dance lessons paid for and travel team baseball. And listen, I've had those periods in my life too. And while they are rewarding and it makes you feel good as a parent, there is more to life than that. But I will promise you this. Some of the greatest memories of my life are watching my boys play ball and watching my girls dance and watching my kids pursue their own dreams. But I think it's important to understand that we got to have dreams of our own. We got to have other things, because I think when you stop dreaming, boy, it's time to die. Isn't that what Shannon Hoon told us? It's true. You Blind Melon fans will know that. You got to have other things in life that motivate you other than just other people. People are what matters most, but I think there has to be a sense of being true to oneself. So there we go. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. Speaking of being true to yourself, you owe yourself a quality meal. I don't just eat for survival, I eat for enjoyment, and I enjoy eating at Bulldog Burger Company. I do. I think it's fabulous because I've never left there feeling worse than when I went in. Every time I go, it's a good experience. The food is great. The service is great. The atmosphere is great. The pricing is great. They know how to feed folks at Bulldog Burger Company, and I can assure you the people in your family, when you ask them, where do you want to eat? Bulldog Burger Company is going to be one of the first suggestions, and rightfully so. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Find your own favorites. I had a message just the other day. A guy sent me a voice memo on Facebook. I wasn't sure what that was going to be about. And he goes, you know, Every time I hear you talk about Bulldog Burger Company, I think, well, I got to go eat, you know. Well, good. I'm glad I can have that positive influence on your life. Get that chocolate shake to go. Ride that ride home with a smile. You'll be glad you did. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's jump into it. All right, a lot of chatter out there on the message boards about Mississippi State having to work to keep Ace Reese. A few things I'm going to tell you about that. We have been hearing since the Florida weekend that other teams were planning to make a run at Ace Reese. Now, a lot of that's not legal, of course. And under the new rules of tampering, we'll see how that works. But everybody has third parties in their lives. So there can be some, quote, back-channeling with all of us, right? I mean, even in my industry, you know, you have people, and I've been contacted throughout the years many times about moving Gene's page to other networks. You know, when we got ready to move here, you know, there was a, even before the merger between Scout and 247, you know, we were getting, hey, would you be interested in this? And I got some messages out there that would make some people awfully uncomfortable. True. But nevertheless, there is those things that happen in business. And so what kind of bubbled up yesterday, and we've actually been hearing, you know, for a few days, I guess, that LSU was going to make another run at Ace Reese. And so yesterday there was some considerable chatter about that. Now, we've gotten on the phone, we've talked to some people, and I feel like things are okay, you know. But we're going to sweat this thing out until the portal closes on Tuesday night, and obviously so. But I can tell you Mississippi State taking some steps to ensure that Ace Reese remains in maroon and white. But there are a couple things about this that I think you need to know. And this is based on my own understanding, okay? This is my opinion based on the circumstances and the rules as I understand them. So Ace Reese got his compensation deal with Mississippi State completed before the house settlement was ruled upon. Before we had a ruling there, the deal was done. So any deal done now would come under the framework of the house settlement, which is a lot more restrictive, as you guys are well aware. So what I'm told is, if somebody does make an official run at Ace Reese, or if somebody entices him to get into the portal, that they're going to have a tough time structuring a deal that would be competitive with ours. And I, as one person told me yesterday, it wouldn't even be close. Now, I know there are more than one way to skin a cat. Maybe you guys don't like that euphemism, but it's true. There's a lot that goes into all this stuff. But, yeah, I was learned yesterday around lunchtime that LSU had had some conversations with Jake Gautreaux. And so reached out to a few people, kind of put some feelers out there. Hey, what's going on with this? You know, and I was told that actually that Jake did have some opportunities, but that he was expected to take the East Carolina job. And then like an hour later, the news breaks from one of the guys that covers East Carolina that they were targeting Jake Gautreaux to be their hitting coach. And then, of course, Kendall Rogers and other people come along. I think it's a good development, but let me just share with you this. I know Jake Gautreaux. Known him for a long time now. And you know, him, his wife, his boys, you know, but mainly Jake, you know, spent a lot of time around Jake. And I can tell you this, that Jake Gautreaux is not leaving us, and I say us as in the Mississippi State family, with any bitterness in his heart. Yes, he would love to have stayed. Yes, he wished things would have gone better. But Jake Gautreaux does not have an axe to grind with me or you. And I think that's important to understand. There's also the possibility one day down the road that things come full circle, and perhaps Jake Gautreaux is a candidate for the head coaching job at Mississippi State. Now, that's probably 10, 12 years later. But how you leave a place is extremely important. And Jake Gautreaux understands this. Jake is not the kind of guy that is going to stab us in the back on the way out the door. Jake Gautreaux loves all of you. He loves Mississippi State baseball. He loves Starkville. This was home. His children were born here, right? His children grew up here. And so Mississippi State is a special place, and there's some people out there that have kind of, you know, suggested some things that perhaps aren't true. And so I wanted to kind of correct the record there. That so nobody should be casting any shots at Jake Gautreaux about any of this stuff. Just, you shouldn't, you know. I know enough about this that I can speak confidently about that, that Jay Gautreaux would never do anything to the detriment of Mississippi State. Absolutely believe that to be the case. So where does that leave us? Well, you know, if LSU's back channeling or Tennessee's back channeling, and I was the school we heard way back in April, maybe making a run at this thing. I mean, yeah, we're going to sweat it out. I mean, anything can happen in college athletics. Until that portal is closed, anything could happen. And some would say, well, you know, he's already announced he's coming back, and that's true. And I think we take him at his word. But you may recall last year, Andrew Fisher did the same thing to Ole Miss. He announced he's coming back and then ultimately transfers to Tennessee. Maybe you've forgotten that. And so these deals right now, you know, are not really binding in a way to protect the schools. And that's what this whole Miami and Wisconsin lawsuit is about, is there has to be some accountability on both sides of this. If we, as able-bodied adults of sound mind and body, enter into a financial agreement in exchange for, you know, goods for services, then there has to be some protection for both sides. And so that's one of those things we're still kind of working out. And so maybe some of these comments don't especially, you know, give you the warm and fuzzies, you know, because you're like, oh, I thought this was all over and done with. Well, I think it's at this point, I think the concern is maybe a bit premature, but it would be naive and Pollyannish to just think that nothing could happen. And so I think it's important, you know, there's only so many things you can write. I thought maybe you guys would feel better just kind of hearing me explain it as best I can. I do think things are going to work out. But at the same time, too, I can't rule anything out. And if you remember, back in the December football portal, and we talked about this some on the show after it happened, you know, we had teams the last few days of the portal trying to get Jimothy Lewis to enter the portal. It all worked out, you know, and so you're going to have some of this in the final days of the portal process. You're going to have people that are going to come up and say, hey, through third parties, and say, hey, this is what we can do, you know. And my honest opinion is I think there should be, you know, and there are some new framework rules in place about tampering. I think what you got to do is you got to hammer somebody. I mean, the NCAA has to hammer somebody. And there's a lot of people out there, as well, there's always some pre-portal conversations between reps and that sort of stuff. I get that aspect of it. And it's smart on behalf of the student athlete, before they get into the portal, to kind of let it be known that they're going to be getting in the portal so people can be evaluating them and putting together offers and things of that nature. So when that officially happens, they're prepared. Makes good sense. It is. But when you've got people that are showing up late and basically working through a third party to financially incentivize somebody to get into the portal, I think that's dirty pool, and there should be accountability for that. And so, you know, we'll see how things progress. But again, as of now, I think things are okay. But, you know, we'll see how we feel on Monday. You know, I mean, I double-checked with Mississippi State officials yesterday, late in the day, that there had been no movement of any players in the last couple of days as far as entering the portal. Now, there was Duke Stone, of course, that withdrew from the portal. And just interestingly enough, I'm going to give you this just so you have it, just so you know. So Duke Stone officially entered the portal at 12:18 p.m. June 23rd, 2025. He was officially withdrawn from the portal June 25th, 6:36 p.m. And I was told that he actually initiated a withdrawal before then. You know, just sometimes it takes a little while, you know, for these things to happen. So Duke Stone went in the portal briefly. Mel Brown O'Connor is elected to come back, which is a great thing for Mississippi State. I think Duke Stone has a very, very bright future. And that's the thing, too, you start worrying about, too, if you're Brown O'Connor. I got to hang on to these guys because I don't know that I can find somebody better or find somebody of equal ability. Not to mention the fact that Justin Parker's already worked with this guy for a year. You know, so I'd be starting fresh and having, you know, pitching's pitching, but the way that Justin Parker does things is a little bit different. So you want some familiarity. So that's a very good thing for Mississippi State. Now, State also picked up another commitment, a guy connected to Justin Parker. as you guys are aware, Braden Sweeney from South Carolina. Sweeney is a guy that spent his first couple of years at Blinn Community College, a native of Edmond, Oklahoma. Maybe you're familiar with that. But he went to Oklahoma State College and then to Blinn and then to South Carolina. And made 23 appearances last year, one start, had six saves. But it's an interesting deal. You know, he is a guy that has kind of been up and down this year. 6'6", 200-pound right-hander. And you start thinking about, like, if you're a pitching coach, you think about extension, right? You think about a guy like this that could go out there and make some things happen. And you got to wonder, you know, what Justin Parker can do with him. Now, the numbers are not going to wow you. 1-3 with an 8.53 ERA. Again, 23 appearances, had the one start. But he also had six saves. He gave up 32 hits and 25 and a third, so over a hit per, which is not a good frequency for a reliever. You got to get guys that throw strikes and get outs. But, allowed basically an earned run per 24. About 3-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, 34 Ks against 13 walks. But it's interesting just to kind of work through this thing. And you see early on, you know, he was a guy that was just kind of – routinely coming out of bullpen and kind of closing things out. His first three appearances, he earned the save. You get into SEC play, things are a little more convoluted, shall we say. Things are a little different, you know. Against Mississippi State, you guys are aware of this. He pitched against us, you know, in the game they won, you know. And so it's all interesting how that stuff works out, you know. And now he's here. But another piece, you know, is he?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Guy that changes the trajectory of this team, I'd say no, but he is a guy, obviously, that Justin Parker has some connections with. I think Justin Parker is a guy that knows what he's doing too. And you remember what he did with Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of what Justin Parker can do with him. In addition to that too, it's like, what's left, Steve? You know, we're down to just a few spots, you know. And again, this is the biggest portal class in school history and likely will remain that for a long time. Because I don't think you're going to see Brian O'Connor live off the portal. He's pretty much said as much. You know, the portal should be there to kind of supplement maybe where you lose a guy or a guy maybe doesn't develop, but we can't live in the portal. I know people love this time of year because you love the new toys, right? It's like waking up on Christmas morning. You want a commitment every day, and you start fantasizing about what that lineup's going to look like. I do too, you know. I do too. And it's an intriguing process, to say the least, but we cannot consistently do that. You know, LSU's kind of done that too. And you say, hey, Steve, they've won two NAFL championships in 3 years. They absolutely have. And so there's got to be some value in the portal every year, and you got to do what you can to constantly upgrade your roster. But you also want to have continuity and consistency. And you go back and look at what Brian O'Connor has done historically at the University of Virginia, pretty much making the tournament every year. Been to Omaha 7 times, played for 2 NAFL championships. And so, you know, I believe his formula can be successful here too. And number one, it's not just from a facility standpoint. This is a great community. This is a great place to play college baseball. This is a place where college baseball matters. And I think one of the things that we've learned in recent weeks is that maybe college baseball doesn't matter as much as Virginia at Virginia as it does at a place like Mississippi State. And I don't just mean from a resource standpoint. I mean from a fan support standpoint. You know, you guys have expectations. You know, at the University of Virginia, of course, they've got a core group of college baseball fans. That's their favorite sport. But they're not having 16,000 people show up on a Saturday to watch a college baseball game. You know, Virginia obviously is an athletic department, too, that has a lot of sports that we don't. You know, we don't have any pro sports here in the state of Mississippi, which makes the state and Ole Miss thing a lot more important to all of us. You know, Ole Miss doing a pretty good job in the portal, too. And you remember 2 years ago, everybody was ready to run Mike Bianco off. Didn't work out that way. Of course, they lose a regional and people want him fired again. But, you know, give Keith Carter a little bit of credit. And I'm sure it was about counting beans, too. But they made the decision to keep Bianco. He's kind of righted the ship. But when you look at this Mississippi State thing, you know, there is something to be here. Like, I'm going to play college baseball. Right, if I got to go out here and prove myself, I want to do it against the best competition possible to prove that I am worthy of a high draft pick. But also, too, I want to play at a place that baseball matters. I want to play at a place that has the greatest of amenities and the greatest coaching, the greatest fan support. And all those things matter. And again, you look at Virginia, and for those of you that went to Charlottesville for the regional, they have a nice stadium, but nowhere near what we have. It's nice by ACC standards. It's not nice by SEC standards. And talking to these Virginia players that showed up, they just couldn't believe it. They said, it's like a minor league ballpark going to Duty Noble Field. And so as we work through this process, again, we're not going to be so reliant on the portal moving forward, but this is a unique year, and it had to be this way this year. But in addition to that, you know, again, we still need probably a number two catcher. I had a lead on a guy that I thought was going to work out. Didn't work out, right? And it's interesting how that stuff kind of unfolds. When you're searching, information tends to find you. But I had a guy that was connected to Mississippi State that had gone through kind of a circuitous path, wanted to return to Mississippi State. We weren't able to work it out. Okay, and so there, again, you need a catcher, you need another middle infielder, and you probably need another arm. And so we're working through this thing, but I don't think we're going to turn away great players. And it's interesting, too, like everybody talks about what a great start we got off to in the portal, and I think we're still the number one portal class. I hadn't checked today. But Mississippi State's got one of the best portal classes in the country, and I'm already kind of seeing some fan angst. It's like we get so greedy. And I'm the same way. Like, I want what LSU has. Like, LSU went in their eighth national championship. As much as I respect them, I hate it, man. I do. Because it should be us. It should be us. And so, yeah, I'm envious. I respect them. I do. I absolutely respect LSU baseball. And they play baseball the right way. And, you know, Jay Johnson's a relentless competitor. But, yeah, it motivates me, man. It does. It motivates me. But at the same time, too, it just kind of deflates me a little bit. It's like, man, they won it again. You know, we got to get caught up. It's going to be tough to do. LSU, one of the greatest college baseball programs in the history of the game. We are too. We just don't have the hardware to show it. And that's the thing that I think frustrates us all the most. You know, and I see it on our own message boards. People are like, man, I'm so tired of seeing LSU win. Well, you know what? Let's beat them, right? Let's beat them. And I think now we've kind of got a marriage of a highly accomplished college baseball coach that has done it with less resources than we have here. I'm not going to sit here and say that they were poor at Virginia. They had some resources, obviously. And O'Connor and I talked about that last Friday evening. How much money? I think they put over $30 million in the stadium every time he was there. So it's not like they were just kind of sitting back with a chicken wire fence hoping for the best. But now you've got a guy that has proven that he can do it, win the national championship, consistently get to Omaha. Now at a place where going to Omaha is like, that's the goal every year. And I go back to something John Cohen said at his introductory press conference when he was announced as our head coach at Mississippi State. He said, we've been to Omaha, and getting to Omaha is just not enough. That's how I feel. I don't just want to say, man, we went to Omaha, and I love going to Omaha. Oh, my gosh, I love going. I love being around other college baseball people. I enjoy being around. It's so much fun. You walk out there, and there's like 60 different schools represented. Because there's some people that just take the trip to the College World Series, whether their team is playing or not. And one of the conversations that I probably will never forget the rest of my life, we're getting ready to play Virginia. And I'm outside running to Dr. Mark Keenum, and we get our picture made together, and they sent me the picture in a letter from Doc. It means so much to me. But there was this old LSU guy, old Cajun guy out there, and I'm like, Big Bubba, what you doing here? Oh, she's not even here. And he goes, man, we're here to root on them Bulldogs. I get chills even saying that. And he said, I think I speak for all LSU fans when we say it's Mississippi State's time to win one. He said, it'd be good for college baseball for Mississippi State to win. He goes, you guys are the godfathers of college baseball. And it's only right that Mississippi State wins one. I'll never forget that interaction the rest of my life. And again, I think there's this mutual respect between State and LSU. And of course, they got seven more national championships than we do. But we have a reputation in college baseball. And I can tell you, talking to some of my friends in college baseball that are much more knowledgeable than just the social media walk-on experts out there that seem to know everything after it happens. Oh, yeah, I've been hearing about this. Of course you have. You never break anything. You never have anything until it's after the fact. But I got so many people in college baseball that tell me, man, I'm a little concerned about this Mississippi State thing. I said, what do you mean, Bubba? Well, now that you guys have Brian O'Connor and you're throwing all this money behind baseball, I think the window is closing for some teams. He goes, man, this is the one thing that I think a lot of people have feared in college baseball. There's some people that say, hey, it's good to see Mississippi State is truly committed to college baseball. And you say, Steve, we always have been. Not like this. Not like this. And the fact that other people that cover other teams and support other teams are like, you know what? This is the sleeping giant has been awoken in Starkville, Mississippi. And that may be good news for us, but it may be bad news for the rest of the SEC. And I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. Of course, I hope Ace Reese is with us next year, and I still believe that he will be. But when I think about what we're entering in, I don't know that I have ever been this excited about college baseball. And now, the 2022 season, because it's so easy for us to have this revisionist history ourselves. You know, after we won it in 2021, we thought we had a chance to get back to Omaha in 2022. And, of course, we had some injuries and things fell apart on us. But when I go back and listen, as close as Chris Lemonis and I are, when we hired Chris Lemonis, I wasn't extremely excited about it. And that's not in any way a shot at Chris, you know, but I'd been hearing, as you guys had as well, you know, John Cohen comes out, and John's my friend, but John comes out and says, we're going to go hire the best coach in college baseball. We loved hearing that. And then we couldn't get Dan McDonald. Of course, we talked to Slosh. We talked to Tim Corbin. We knew Tim Corbin wasn't leaving Nashville. We're going to leave that need-based aid. Come on, man, don't waste our time. And we hired Chris Lemonis, and it worked out for a bit. You know, we won a national championship, and, of course, Chris set the SEC record for wins for a first-time coach, which might be in jeopardy next year. I was like, well, you know, we'll see. Hopefully this Lemonis guy works out. You know, that's how when we hired him, we had that hot day out there. We presented him at Duty Noble Field, and everybody wore those suits, which is an interesting choice. And I thought, well, hopefully it'll work out. I'm a lot more optimistic about this working out. And again, that's not a shot at Chris, but in some respects, in the moment, it felt like we had kind of under-delivered. And then, of course, Chris wins a national championship. And so yeah, it worked out. It did. And the last couple of years, obviously, we haven't been able to maintain that level of success. But I think when you look at the track record of Brian O'Connor and how he has consistently put teams in the tournament, into super regionals, and into Omaha, I think most of us feel the same way that I do, is that we're about to enter arguably the most exciting era of Mississippi State baseball. All right, it's time for our close with Blair player of the day. We're going to go Bryce Chance today. I think Bryce Chance's return to Mississippi State has kind of been a bit undervalued. But before we get to that, Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. That is the only name to know in mortgage loan origination. There's a lot of things about getting a mortgage that you don't know until you do it. You know, they need a pint of blood, you know, a note from your mom, a lock of your kid's first haircut. I mean, there's always a lot of things these underwriters ask for that don't make a lot of sense. You need somebody to go fight the good fight for you. That's Blair Chandler. There's a lot of people that have been turned down by other companies that get approved through Blair because Blair knows how to structure loans in a way to get the best chance of approval. Get that pre-qualification letter. That's a life hack they don't tell you about. It's very important that you have that. You need to be shopping above your means. Just be smart about it, right? There'll come a time when you can get the big house with the pool. Maybe this isn't it. But get with Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair, the only name to know. Get his 24 years of experience and expertise working for you. You'll be glad you did. That's closewithblair.com. Yeah, I mentioned Bryce because we've talked about so many different players coming back. Guys, Bryce Chance grew up a Bulldog. Bryce Chance understands the expectations of this program. Bryce Chance understands what it means to take the field at Mississippi State and to come up with two outs and two on in a big situation and to come through. I think in many respects, Bryce Chance is kind of the glue of this program right now. And I think it's important to have him back. What a great locker room guy, but a guy that when he has something to say, he has credibility because he's done it. Had the best year of his career last year. And there was, you know, this time last year, people were hoping we would recruit over Bryce Chance, and hey, it didn't work out that way. Bryce continued to battle hard and to exemplify the Mississippi State spirit. So Bryce Chance, your closer, Blair, player of the day. Let's get into top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. I've had some people hit me up and ask me, what's the name of that guitar shop again? It's Kalito Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. This is a Mississippi State owned and operated company out of Lake Jackson, Texas, just south of Houston. You can go by and see the showroom when you're down there if you'd like. It's the guitar player's guitar shop. You can get acoustic, you can get electric, you can get a classical guitar, whether beginner guitar, professional guitar, and really everything you need in between. And I guarantee you the player in your life would love to have a new guitar. Maybe it's a great gift idea for you. Maybe they've done something special. Maybe there's a birthday coming up. You know, Father's Day just passed, and I can promise you that the socks that you gave Dad, well, he was nice about it, it really didn't scratch the itch. You know, maybe give that dramatic gift to somebody in your life by getting them a new guitar. Maybe perhaps get a gift certificate, whether it be a guitar case, guitar stand, gig bag, accessories, everything you need guitar related you can get from Kalito Guitars. So let's keep business in the family. They're going to give you some incentive to do so because they cheer for Mississippi State just like you and I do. They just happen to live in the state of Texas. When you purchase through Kalito Guitars, whether it be in person, on the phone, or online, use promo code BSR. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase, free shipping, and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, they'll make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Incredible. Quality instruments at a discounted price from Mississippi State folks who in turn are going to contribute to our athletic team successes. You're not going to find a better deal than that. So visit KalitoGuitars.com today. I thought we would attack a few things today. You know, people talk about what a great year in music it was in 92. 93 was a great year too. And to be honest with you, this was kind of peak grunge. The end of 92, early 93. And again, for you young bucks out there, I'm going to be honest with you. Many of you, your mom and dads have lied to you. And so we're going to go with the facts today. It's a facts-only show unless we qualify it as an opinion. But before we get to 93, I want to go back to 92. We're going to go back 1 year, right? And I'm going to run you through the number one albums of 1992. And there's only a handful of them. And there's only, you know, I guess maybe a dozen or so in 93. Our list today is going to be about 93. But here we go. 92, January the 4th, the first week was the Michael Jackson album Dangerous. The next week, Nevermind went to number one from Nirvana. The next 2 weeks, it was Rope in the Wind from Garth Brooks. February 1st, Nevermind goes back to number one. And this will probably hurt some feelings. It never went number one again. Oh, Steve, that's not right. No, it's true. These are the facts. I'm looking at the charts right now. And what's interesting to me is like that the first in January 11th, Nevermind sold 373,000 copies and change. February 1st, it was 134,000. There we go. Roping the Wind from Garth Brooks takes over and continues the run for basically 2 months at number one. And then, one of the greatest movies of our lifetime, the soundtrack from Wayne's World takes over, knocks Garth Brooks out of the number one spot for 2 weeks. You know what happened the next little run there? From April 18th to May 16th, five consecutive weeks. Number one album in the United States, according to Billboard, was Def Leppard's Adrenalize. So Def Leppard's Adrenalize spent more weeks at number one than Nirvana's Nevermind. Yeah, but Steve, no, but you. And what's interesting about that too, remember that Nevermind, when it broke through 373,000 copies, the first week of release for Def Leppard's Adrenalize, 380,000 copies. They sold over, the album went platinum in a month's time. I'm just telling you the truth. May 23rd, totally crossed out from Crisscross. They made you jump. They went to number one. The next week, Black Crowes, Southern Harmony and the Musical Companion, which is a fabulous album. The next week, Crisscross goes back. So, you already know where we're going with this. Crisscross spent as many weeks at number one in the year of our Lord, 1992, is Nirvana's Nevermind. Yeah. You know what blew it off the charts, though? It's crazy, man. It is. Billy Ray Cyrus's Some Gave All. Of course, you know, Achy Breaky Heart came out, and everybody started doing the line dancing. And to be honest with you, that's really the story of 92 when it came to American commercial record sales. It's country music. The line dancing crowd. Garth Brooks, Billy Ray Cyrus. Some Gave All was number one from June 13th all the way to October 3rd. Absolute insanity. Brought mullets back in style. And then Garth Brooks released The Chase. That took over from October 10th to number 14. Michael Bolton on the 21st had like a greatest hits album. That takes over. And then Garth Brooks goes back to number one. And then Ice Cube with The Predator, December 5th. The final 3 weeks of the year, The Bodyguard from Whitney Houston. That soundtrack takes over. So Whitney Houston, more weeks at number one in 92 than Nirvana's Nevermind. And I know some of you guys don't like that. You don't like the truth. But I'm going to give you the truth here on the show. So we're going to go now to 93. Because grunge really only lasted from like 91 to 94. You know, once we got to mid-90s, a lot of it was post-grunge, what they used to call it, post-grunge rock or whatever, you know. There were still some elements of grunge. There was still drop D tuning and things like that. But things are already beginning to fade. As I tell people all the time, is I love grunge. I do. I don't like Nirvana. And whatever this Green Day stuff, you guys have got to stop on Facebook about Green Day. You've got to stop. There is an epidemic. Guys, let me just tell you this. Billy Joe Armstrong makes headlines because of what he says on stage, not what he sings on stage. Oh, he's got these anti-political stuff, anti-American stuff. He's going to move to Canada. Somebody shot a water gun at him. Somebody hurt his feelings. Guys, if what you're doing on stage, your antics exceed your art, you're finished. I don't care how many people pay to see you at Coachella. It makes no difference to me. They were going to be there anyway. They didn't just show up for Green Day. But y'all got to stop. You have to stop. It's ridiculous. So here we go. Best albums, 93. And here's the thing. I kind of arranged these as my favorites. It is my show. But so here we go. Number 10 on our list. And again, part of the revisionist history of the grunge movement. The number 10 album, in my estimation, was Nirvana's In Utero. It spent 1 week at number one. 1 week and sold 180,000 copies in its first week of release. 1 week. We're going to go with Heart-Shaped Box as your number 10 track. Now, Whitney Houston kind of dominated the first part of the year. The Bodyguard soundtrack was number one from January 2nd through March 6th. And it took a little bit of a hiatus for a few weeks there and then came back a couple times. But it kind of dominated the charts. It was the album of the year. So we're going to go, even though it's kind of against the Boneyard custom, we're going to go with the great rendition of the Dolly Parton classic that Whitney Houston absolutely made an amazing version of that led so many people to go watch that movie, The Bodyguard. It's her cover of Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You. Number eight, an album that I think is kind of underappreciated from this generation. If you're a rap fan and you're not into Cypress Hill, I kind of wonder if you're really a rap fan. I mean, honestly. But Black Sunday came out and spent 2 weeks at number one. So again, there's your correlation. Cypress Hill spent more weeks at number one with Black Sunday than Nirvana did with In Utero. And again, I know that it hurts some feelings, but we're going to tell the truth. We're going to go with Insane in the Brain. And my favorite song on this album is Cock the Hammer. Love it. If you don't know Black Sunday from Cypress Hill, you should. So if you're out traveling today or this weekend and you want to put some music on, maybe it's got some familiar tracks, but maybe an album that you don't know as well, this is the one. Number seven, another rap album. And I will be honest with you. Like, I bought this. We pre-ordered this album. And I remember loving it at the time. I don't know that it's held up as well as some of the other work, because we knew who Snoop Dogg was because of his work on The Chronic with Dr. Dre. When Doggy Style was getting set for release, guys, this thing shipped platinum. 802,000 copies and change its first week of release. So we got to go Gin and Juice. I do think there is some filler on the album. I do, but I think we all love Snoop so much, we probably were like, oh, it's okay, you know. But Snoop was already a superstar before that debut solo album came out. But 2 weeks at number one. Number six, U2. Their album, Zeropa, was a little bit different. They started doing Zoo TV and things like that. We had the thing with the MTV Video Music Awards where Garth Algar played drums on Even Better Than the Real Thing. They had this weird song called Lemon that had some success. We're going to go with Numb off of Zeropa. Also spent 2 weeks at number one. Number five, and I don't know if this was her peak. I love the Rhythm Nation, but I love the Janet album. It's Janet Jackson. Spent 6 weeks at number one with the album, just Janet. And a lot of great hits on there. We're going to go with That's the Way Love Goes at number five. Number four, and I've talked about this before, Eric Clapton's Unplugged, which I think was one of the best Unplugged. A lot of different arrangements of Layla and other things like that. But 3 weeks at number one, Eric Clapton. We're going to go with Tears in Heaven, and you know the song is about his son Connor that died. And I remember reading that interview in Rolling Stone, and I was relatively young in sobriety, had a couple of years, almost 2 years, I guess, when all this happened. And I remember reading that, and I said, man, if this guy can live through this and not drink, I don't have any excuses. There's nothing that I could ever experience that could possibly be worse than this. And so Eric Clapton said, they asked him, well, how did you cope with it? He said, I went to meetings, and I talked to my sponsors, and I reached out to people when I was struggling. And he didn't drink. And very profound moment in my recovery, to be honest with you. But Tears in Heaven, it is a gut-wrenching song. But absolutely love that album. Number three, one of my favorite bands of all time. Spent 1 week at number one. It's Songs of Faith and Devotion from Depeche Mode. And I remember when the album came out, Dan and I were broke. I'd been working hard, and maybe I think we'd been able to save a couple $100, you know. I was waiting tables. I don't remember what I was doing back then. It was 93, I guess. Yeah, I was waiting tables. I was part owner of a restaurant, but we were broke. We were broke as the Ten Commandments, man. We had to eat food after lunch at the restaurant just to make it. And I remember telling her, I said, I want to go get this new Depeche Mode album. And I never asked for anything, ever. I mean, everything that we had went to bills. I never bought myself anything. And I was like, do you mind if I go to Walmart and buy this new Depeche Mode album? And she said, baby, go do it. You never buy yourself anything. Now, that's changed. Back in those days, you do what you got to do. And so this album means so much to me because I didn't have a lot of new CDs at the time. I've got a very extensive collection. I hadn't bought one in a while. But I guess I've got maybe 1,000 CDs. But Songs of Faith and Devotion is one of my favorite albums. And one of my favorite songs on that album is Walking in My Shoes. That's your number 3 track today. Number 2. Some people called this a comeback album for them, but it really wasn't. Aerosmith's Get a Grip. I think it really drove them home because of the Alicia Silverstone videos, right? And Liv Tyler was in Crazy. And, you know, there were so many great songs on this album, but I could have gone any direction. But Get a Grip spent number 1 week on May the 8th. And if you remember, this was in the infancy of photoshopping stuff. And there were a lot of animal activists that got mad about this album because it shows the udders of a cow, and one of the udders had like an earring in it, like an Aerosmith symbol earring, and people were losing their minds, and then Aerosmith's record company, Geffen, had to release a statement that it was photoshopped. So nobody knew. Everybody just took it for real. What? They pierced a cow's udder? They didn't. And so that was kind of the first foray into that aspect of like Photoshop way back in 93. And so people had to complain about something. And so brands like Walmart and Kmart, there was a Kmart back then, they had to put a sticker over the earring and the udder. That's how stupid people were back then. They were so offended that a fake earring through a fake cow's fake udders, that they required Walmart to put a sticker over it. Craziness, man. But anyway, Living on the Edge, and if you've read Walk This Way, when they recorded Living on the Edge, that bass drum part, like at the end, was the bass drum that Steven Tyler played in high school. He stole it when he left. But number one, and I still believe this is the band of the 90s, them and Soundgarden. Soundgarden didn't have a new album out in 93. That came in 94. In 93... I remember watching these guys. Dan and I went and saw them at Kiefer Arena. Many of you were there. It was a very highly anticipated follow-up album to Verses. It's Pearl Jam's Verses that spent 5 weeks at number one. 5 weeks. And we went and saw them with Urge Overkill. And I remember thinking Urge Overkill is going to open up with Crack Babies. And they did. It was a great show. That same night, Pearl Jam and Jack McDowell from Chicago White Sox got arrested outside of Pat O'Brien's. It's crazy. The first week of release, Verses sold 950,377 units. Crazy. Second week, 391,000. So again, I go to this. It's platinum 10 days after release. And again, I want to go back just because... What did In Utero do in its first week of release? 180,000 copies. And so Pearl Jam sold about 8 times more copies in their first week of release with their follow-up to 10 than Nirvana did with their follow-up to Nevermind. So many people have conflated all this and tried to say, well, this is how it really was. That wasn't how it was. Everybody loved Pearl Jam. Not everybody loved Nirvana. I mean, Nirvana had haters back then, too. That's what people don't understand because Kurt Cobain was so off-putting. But that's not what, that's not the memory. And listen, God rest his soul. He lived a very tortured life. But I think one of the reasons there's so much angst about Nirvana is because of this contrived narrative and this revisionist history about things. And then, of course, people say that he got murdered. I mean, you know, it's just, you know. I think some of the people that love Nirvana the most have hurt the legacy the most because of the fact they say these things that aren't true to kind of prop up really a history that didn't matter in many respects. Those are the numbers. You just heard the numbers. Pearl Jam had already surpassed Nirvana, a band that Kurt Cobain hated. It'd be like State and Ole Miss, right? You know, it's like, hey, we think we're the best, and all of a sudden you quickly get surpassed by your rival. It's a tough scene, man. It is. And some I get messages ever so often. Somebody say, Steve, why do you hate on Nirvana? It's really not so much me hating on Nirvana. It's just it's not Nirvana that bothers me. It's the fans. With their fake nonsense. It just drives me absolutely insane. I lived through all this stuff, man. I was alive then. We spent every dime we could. At Sound Shop at Cloverleaf Mall. Shout out to Francis. Great. I'll be honest with you, too. I don't know where Francis is these days. I don't know if there was a more desirable female in South Mississippi during those days when everybody wanted to date her. And Todd was the manager there at Sound Shop. But, yeah, we hung out in there all the time. We had time to kill. We'd go in there and just kind of comb through records. With CDs at the time, we didn't have records back then. Vinyl was not really a thing anymore. And then you bought your concert tickets there. You bought your shirts there. You know, there was so much there we did at Sound Shop. And because of the service of the great staff at Sound Shop at Cloverleaf Mall, we shopped there rather than Camelot. And so that was our hangout. And that's where you made your friends. And so everybody loved it. Everybody knew it. That's where it was like where all the rockers and all the music fans in South Mississippi congregated was at Sound Shop in Hattiesburg, Cloverleaf Mall. And if you know me, and you knew me back then, you know that I'm telling the truth. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because the things that we want are there. We're Mississippi State people. We need Mississippi State merchandise. We like to decorate with it. We like to dress with it. We like to celebrate with it. We're Bulldogs through and through. So are the employees at Campus Bookmart. Be sure and stop by and see their smiling faces the next time you're in town. Get some new gear for yourself. Football season is coming up. Don't wear your football wear from last year. Reward yourself with something new. That season opener is coming up. You want to be repping the brand with something brand new. Mom, get yourself something, but I can tell you on behalf of the rest of the family, nothing makes us happier than those surprise gifts. I know sometimes times get tough, and maybe you don't have the extra money to spend, but the reality of it is that summertime gift before vacation is like, hey, here's a new Mississippi State outfit to wear when we go to Disney or when we go to Gulf Shores or when we go to Six Flags or whatever. It means a lot to us. Not everybody will say it, but it means a lot to us. So shop Campus Bookmart. If you can't do it in person, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give it a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, we continue our opponent previews. Northern Illinois be our week four opponent in the final non-conference game of the year. You know, we talk about that in recent years. It seems like that Ole Miss, you know, we always pay so much attention to them because we're rivals, but they always seem to get the non-conference games first. This year they get a non-conference game and then they get two SEC games, Kentucky and Arkansas. We get all four non-conference games early. And, of course, as you guys have heard me say, I think the Arizona State game is the most important game on the schedule. I think that will set the tenor for the entire season. You win that one, and you find a way to get 4-0 to open up the season. There will be a lot of juice. As you guys know, we're going to unveil the new LED lights, the Arizona State game. That'll be a night game. It'll still be daylight when we get started, but they're working on some cool stuff, just so you know. No details yet, but I can tell you I've had some communications with some people and administration. They're working on some cool stuff. So it's not just going to be like we're just going to show up. We're going to do something dramatic. At least we hope so. But I've shared my thoughts on the matter, what I think would be perfect. But I'll be honest with you, some of the things they've shared with me are better. So if we can pull it off, so be prepared for that. You're going to want to be here when we play Arizona State. You are. And I'd encourage you to get season tickets. I know a lot of people like these mini packs where you can pick games and kind of work around it. But there's nothing like being there. And when I first started buying season tickets, man, I felt like I was a shareholder. You know what I mean? It's like, I was like, you know what? I'm the real deal. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a donator. You know, that's how I felt. You know, and maybe you see life a little differently. And that's not in any way to say we don't need fans of all walks of life and at all classifications. But for me, when I became a season ticket holder, I felt like I was really doing my part. And I felt like I was part of it. It's one thing to just kind of come up and I'm going to go to the Mississippi State game. I'm a Mississippi State season ticket holder, right? That to me, and just for me, maybe you feel differently. I'm not in any way judging you. But for me, I felt more engaged being a season ticket holder. All right, Northern Illinois will be the fourth game of the year. And I'll be honest with you guys, too. This is not going to be a walk in the park. I expect to win this game. But this Northern Illinois team is good. Now, they lost about two dozen players to the portal and about that many to graduation. So it'll be a different roster this year. They're kind of picked in the middle of the pack in the MAC. But they're still projected to make a bowl game. They did last year. And you may remember, they had the biggest win probably in the country back in week two last year. They opened up with a win over Western Illinois. Then they went to South Bend and they beat the Fighting Irish 16-14. I went back and watched that game whenever we when we got Nevaeh Sanders and Rashawn Thomas and those guys. Well, once we had those guys committed, I went back and watched that game. And you can find it online if you'd like to. It was pretty incredible. I mean, it really was. What a great effort. And I think Notre Dame probably overlooked them a little bit. Arguably one of the biggest wins in the history of Northern Illinois athletics. So huge win. Well, then, of course, it takes a little while to kind of pull everybody out of the clouds after a game like that. They had an open date after Notre Dame. They open up in MAC play, and they lose in overtime at home to Buffalo. They travel to North Carolina State the next week and nearly pull off the upset of the Wolfpack out there. That was a 24-17 deal. You know, so these guys are not in any way, you know, going to be like looking up and saying, hey, well, this, you know, traveling to Mississippi State is going to be intimidating because they went to South Bend and won, and they went to Raleigh and nearly pulled it off there. They tagged, it was a 17-10 game at the half. Memory serves me correct. Or 17, I don't, anyway. North Carolina State scored in the third period to kind of put the thing away. But again, competitive game. They get UMass 34-20. They go to Bowling Green, win 17-7. They lose to Toledo 13-6. And you guys remember, of all, you know, this Toledo loss last year, granted they were better than Maine, but it kind of feels like the Toledo loss was like this generation's Maine, except we didn't have to bounce back and beat Florida. You know what I mean? The Maine loss was bigger. Don't get me wrong. But that Toledo loss last year, that was the low point for me. I don't know how you guys felt. It wasn't like, you know, we had Blake, you know. It wasn't like that we got surprised. They just came down here and manhandled us. It was an embarrassing game. I'm sitting there covering that. I was like, man, I'm going to avoid the message board tonight. The next week, they lose at Ball State 25-23. They bounce back to beat Western Michigan on the road to Kalamazoo 42-28. They get the Akron Zips and Joe Moorhead. Joe Moorhead's son, Donovan, recently committed to Jacksonville State to be the quarterback there next year. How about that? They go to Miami of Ohio, lose 20-9. They get Central Michigan 24-16. And then they make the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. That's at Albertson Stadium in Boise, Idaho. And they beat Fresno State in double overtime, 28-20. So they finished the year 8-5. Now, granted, there's a lot of pieces that have moved on from that, so it's going to be a different roster. But anybody expecting this just to be, okay, we can just show up and win, we're not a good enough team to do that. And that's not me being critical. That's just the reality of this. The Huskies will come down here looking for an SEC scalp, for sure. They open up at home against Holy Cross. That should be a dub. Then they go to Maryland. Probably a loss. Well, then they have the open date before us. So anything that they've learned about us those first 3 weeks, they'll have had 2 weeks to prepare for what we do. Just an interesting note to kind of throw in there. Then they'll host San Diego State, which is interesting, right? How do they get the Aztecs? Probably a two-for-one type deal. Then they get into MAC play. They'll host Miami of Ohio. They travel to Eastern Michigan, then to Ohio to play the Bobcats. They host Ball State. They travel to Toledo, who most people expect to win the MAC this year. They're at UMass. UMass now part of the MAC. And in Western Michigan, home date there, and in Kent State, then the Mid-American Conference Championship game. So I don't think they'll make that game, but this is a team, obviously, that is not going to be intimidated to go on the road and play anybody. And to me, that's the measure of a good coaching staff, right? That when you can go into somebody else's backyard, win a game, or nearly pull off a game, it shows that you're prepared. That us against the world mentality is a good thing. Looking back at this team last year, they scored 24.5 points, only allowed 18.5. That's a formula for winning. So they weren't prolific offensively, but they were good enough, complementary to their defense, to win, for sure. And pretty balanced offense, too. They had 2,649 rushing yards and 2,320 passing yards. So pretty balanced offense, nearly 5,000 yards. Guys, they only allowed 3,700. And what they were great at was stopping the run. Allowed only 1,458 yards, just 112 yards per game. They ran the football nearly twice as well as their opponents did. And remember, they played Notre Dame and NC State. So you can begin to imagine if they were able to kind of hold those running games somewhat accountable, what they did within their league. Pretty impressive type stuff. And so, again, that's one of the reasons that we do the previews, right? One of the things that kind of jumps out to me is that they did allow 40 kickoff returns last year, which tells me not a lot of touchbacks. Maybe we have a chance to make a play in the return game. We'll see what their kicking situation looks like by the time we get there. But I think that's interesting. You know, they had 20 kickoff returns offensively, but only 40 defensively. So kickoff coverage was a big deal for them. But again, maybe a chance for us to make a play in the kick game there, in the return game. Yeah, average per kick for them was 57.6 yards. And the net kick average was 36. So they're giving up some yards in special teams. That's just, again, we'll see what everybody looks like by the time we get there. But just an interesting dynamic. Opponents only sacked Northern Illinois quarterbacks 19 times. They had 36 themselves, and some of those are players that are now Bulldogs. But, again, what this tells me, if you're good against the run and you're good in pass pro, it means you're good in the trenches. And we'll see what that offensive and defensive line looks like after all the attrition. But another thing I thought was interesting, they've really been a first half team, but fourth quarters have also been good for them, averaging about 90 points the first two quarters and then 72 in the fourth quarter. And so, again, those halftime adjustments made the third quarter maybe a little bit different. But what jumps out to me is in the second half, they have primarily outscored their opponents with great regularity. Outscored their opponents slightly in the first half, but in the second half, it's really not close. They have been the better team in the second half of ball games, which, again, is a measure of a good coaching staff. I want to just kind of jump here to some team numbers here. Gavin Williams was a leading rusher last year, had 749 yards of their 2,649 rushing yards. Yeah, so we'll see. But I really want to get to these defensive stats just because of the fact, Rayshon didn't play a lot last year, took the redshirt year. There are a few guys that did that, for us. Guys that took a redshirt year last year because they were injured and didn't want to spend their final year of college football less than 100%. But, looking through all of this stuff, we had Cam Thompson too, the wide receiver. And, we've gone through a lot of this stuff, when these guys, committed to us. But, Cam Thompson scored 4 touchdowns last year for those guys. 28 grabs for Cam Thompson, 391 yards. I'm interested to see what we do with him in a slot. That'll be interesting. He was 3rd on the team in receptions last year. And this is a guy, too, that's excited about being a Bulldog. I'm eager to see the team in fall camp. As you guys are eager to hear about it. You know, I do miss about the Leach days is that we could go to practice pretty much whenever we wanted to until like the final week of camp. You know, so all those weeks kind of leading up, we could kind of get an idea. You know, Rayshon Thomas, again, has played in 4 games last year. Nevaeh Sanders was in 12. Was really kind of a pass rushing specialist, had 4.5 sacks last year. But again, a lot of attrition on this team. But I've been impressed with what we've seen from them, at least last year. And again, this is a coaching staff, obviously, that kind of understands the game and nuances of the game. It's so incredible to go back and watch so much of that stuff. So again, I expect to win the game. But I think this is going to be one of those games that we're going to need you to be there. And it's going to be an afternoon game at 3:15. So you can come up and spend a day with us at Starkville. And if you decide not to spend the night, you could just make it a good day trip and get on home at a decent hour. Get up and go to church the next morning. I mean, I'm not judging you. Maybe you don't. But an afternoon game, September 20th, it may still be warm. So go ahead and plan ahead. You know, bring your hydration packs and all the good stuff. But every day spent in Starkville during the fall is always a great thing. And so, again, just be mindful of that as you begin to kind of make your plans. Anybody that's getting married this time of year, you know, you got to kind of question that relationship. It's just how it is. You know, I think July is the perfect time to get married. There's no college sporting events going on. If you got to get married in the fall, then let's do it during the open date. And, you know, maybe do it early enough that we could watch some college football during the reception. I don't go to many weddings. It's a work day for me. And then when I get a chance to be off, I enjoy being able to be off and watch everybody else in the league play. But, you know, that kind of wraps up our non-conference first blush looks at opponents. And if I had to say on the conservative side, I would say 3-1 is probably the record. Arizona State bothers me. Southern Miss bothers me a little bit too because of the unknown. But again, with so many new moving pieces to that, you know, it's different for us. We're in year two, right? So you've got some guys that understand the expectations and the language and all the things that go along with that. For a lot of guys at Southern Miss, it's all brand new. Now, granted, they brought about 20 players with them from Marshall that'll help implement the culture, kind of get things up to speed. But the reality of it is Southern Miss, I think Charles Huff will do well there. I think the folks at Marshall were idiots not to keep him. And I still don't understand how they let his contract expire. Why did Marshall, when you've got a conference championship winning coach, a guy that's had some huge wins, why would you not have him in a long-term deal? It makes you wonder what else, what we don't know about that situation. But Huff will do good at Southern Miss. Obviously, he has some relationships in state from his time at Mississippi State, even though he was primarily the running backs recruiter. He knows a few folks, so that'll help. And I think, you know, it doesn't bother me when Southern Miss is good. I think it's a good thing. I like it when Southern Miss is good. I would rather them be good than Ole Miss, you know. And we're not scared to play Southern Miss like some other people are. But, you know, I wish Huff and those guys the best, just not against us. I mean, like if we win, beat them and they end up, you know, running the table and winning their conference, man, that's great. Great. But, yeah, I do expect to win the game. The Arizona State game kind of bothers me. How are we going to handle Sam Levitt? You know, are we going to be able to get some pass rush? We weren't last year, and that's a big problem. Alcorn State, of course, we expect to win that with Northern Illinois. But, again, anybody expecting that Northern Illinois game to be a walk in the park is kind of kidding themselves. You know, and there's always these, you know, futures that you can find out there for college football. And Mississippi State right now projected to be about a 2-touchdown favorite. Over-under in that game is 57.5 points. I'm going to take the over there. But it's interesting, you know, again, with so much going on and State coming off a 2-10 year, that we would be considered a 2-touchdown favorite on the road. And granted, you know, Southern Miss went 1-11 last year, but that's the expectation, you know. And so, you know, things will change a lot between now and then. But I'm eager to get to college football season. I'm enjoying having a little bit of downtime. You know, we don't get a whole lot in this industry. Not that I'm complaining. I love what I do. And I don't just do this for the credential and the hot dog. I love being able to go out and be your eyes and ears on this kind of stuff. But I am eager, by the time that college football season gets here, I'll be a little stir crazy. You know, usually this time of year I'm writing a book. I'm not right now, but we're about to kind of finalize some details on a new project, and we'll let you know about that as soon as we can, you know, once we get some things signed. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I'm kind of narrowing things down a little bit now. But this time of year, like this time last year, you know, I was knee-deep in writing a dude, which is still number five on the bestseller list, which means so much to me. And it means so much to me because I think it means so much to that family and to the Mississippi State family. I mean, so many people knew about Duty Noble Field, but I've had some of our young people say, I didn't even know Duty Noble was a real person. You know, yeah, I think I shared this, guys, with you, too. We worked through the registrar's office to try to get Duty Noble's class schedule. They redacted the grades. But try to get his class schedule and just kind of see some details, right? And it's kind of cool to have that in your hands, right? But they had some trouble finding it. One of the students looking through the stuff said, are you sure he went to school here? It's like, yeah, we're confident. We're confident he went to school here. He also coached here and was the AD, and the baseball stadium's named after him. So we're pretty confident that he went to school here. But it's just kind of funny how life works. But, yeah, I'm eager for football season. But, you know, not in the way that maybe perhaps we have been in the past. I mean, you know, it's like those feelings that we have. And I felt it a lot with Dan Mullen, you know, that we had a chance to go out and win every game. And in some years, I kind of felt it with Mike Leach. I mean, after we went down there and beat LSU in 2020, we thought, man, it's going to be a great year. We may win the West. And then lo and behold, you know, the drop eight got to us. And Mike Leach made a good point about that, too. I was like, you know, attacking the drop eight, do you worry? He goes, man, nobody's seen more of that than me, you know, and there's some truth in that. But give Barry Odom some credit. You know, everybody kind of followed that, and we had so many receivers that had never had to uncover in a drop eight because, I mean, honestly, let's be – how many times did people run zone against us when it wasn't third and long? And so it took us a little while. But I love those years that we already know that we're going to be a bowl team. It's just a matter, are we going to be a Tennessee bowl team or a Florida bowl team? I love those years where the expectation is we're going to get bowl trips. I don't like these years that we go in just hoping to make a bowl game, and that's kind of where it is right now. But I am eager to get there, and I'm eager to get into fall camp and get a look at what this O-line and D-line looks like kind of for real. We hadn't had a chance to see a whole lot, especially with the offensive line, because – we spent so much time and effort in the spring portal revamping the offensive line, and I venture to say that if we had not hired Phil Loadholt and he had not really went to work in the spring portal, that this year's football team would look a lot like last year's football team. That offensive line that we would have trotted out there that we saw this spring would not have been competitive in the SEC. Some people don't like to hear that. You know, I feel good about Jimothy Lewis, feel good about Luke Work, feel good about Albert Reese. But outside of that, there wasn't a lot of SEC body types. And there certainly wasn't any depth. And there's some younger guys out there that we got high hopes for. But I'm going to be honest with you. If Phil Oatholt had not reconstructed this room with the spring portal, and we still don't know what it's going to look like on the field, you'd be facing another 2-10 year. I'm just going to say it for what it is. You would be facing another year of football at Mississippi State that you would not be proud of. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're getting a large group together, and I can personally attest to that fact. We stayed there for New Year's, and we had a great time. It's so nice to have everybody under one roof instead of everybody being scattered all over the Golden Triangle, and you don't know when so-and-so needs a nap or we got to go to dinner. It's just everybody together. We can congregate. We can communicate. We can just have a great time together. If you're booking it out, let me know. I may come visit. You know, I love the place. We're going to do it again, and we can't wait to do it again. Our family has expanded, and, you know, I we've got this big house out in the country, but you know, when we bought it, you know, we had four kids. Well, now they have significant others, most of them, and one of them has three kids. And so it's a little more difficult for us to host everybody here. And so we don't get a chance to do it very often, but when we do, we use the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You should consider doing that too. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. Some booking options are going to come up too. Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, but if you want to save some money, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10, Beautiful Steve Roberts, and the number 10, BSR10, to get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, saving some money at the Golden Triangle's premier place to stay with a larger group. Six bedrooms, soon to be three baths, should be operational for football season. But it's not just available during football weekends, or baseball weekends, or basketball weekends. It's available through the midweek, too. So maybe you got some vacation time and you're thinking, hey, it'd be kind of cool for everybody to get together midweek when things aren't quite so busy in Starkville. Enjoy all of our favorite restaurants and just enjoy being together. Great idea. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. And if it's a ball game event, you can do your tailgating right then and there. Save yourself a lot of time and trouble. Be sure and stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. While you were sleeping, there was this news about Texas State now officially joining the Pac-12. I guess it's not official yet. They have to do it, though, before the 1st. As I read, the Sun Belt Conference's exit fee goes from $5 million to $10 million on July 1st. So it's a $5 million deal just to get it done by Monday. You know, and, of course, the baseball portal closes Tuesday. We're eager for that to happen. But it's interesting, too, you know, thinking about the Pac-12. They used to be this great football conference, and they were a great baseball conference. They've had some runs at basketball, too. But, man, it's like Texas State's going to join. It's going to make 9 members. Man, this conference is unrecognizable. I mean, it truly is. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Utah State, Gonzaga, that doesn't play football, and then Oregon State and Washington. They were the Pac-2, and now they're the Pac-9. And they're going to add some more teams later, but Texas State obviously gives them the opportunity to maintain FBS football status. That's significant, you know. But I think about this thing, too. It's like, look at what Oregon State did baseball-wise this past year. And now all of a sudden, you know, you begin to get some neighboring partners here, going to make it easier to construct a schedule. You know, and obviously Gonzaga has had at times pretty good ball teams too, and so that could help on the baseball side. Of course, Gonzaga known really more for basketball, and I'm sure they're feeling like, hey, this is a great deal for us because of the fact that we're going to have some conference partners in which we can have regular home and homes with, and we don't always have to go out here and play teams that maybe don't help us in the net. So it's fascinating to me to see these things happen. To be honest with you, I thought the Big 12 would have been smart to grab Texas State. I don't know all the regulations behind that. Maybe the Big 12 has a moratorium on Texas schools, but it seems like it would make some sense, but maybe Texas State down there in San Marcos, Texas, maybe doesn't bring enough eyeballs. But, hey, good for Texas State. They will officially be a Power 4 program sooner rather than later. And, you know, Texas State had some big wins in baseball this year. And, of course, you know what they've done in recent years in football. So that'll be interesting, you know. And, of course, the Sun Belt loses them. And, you know, the Sun Belt has proven to be a really good conference in many respects. You know, as far as G5 conferences go, I think one could make an argument that the Sun Belt might be the best G5 conference in the land right now. Of course, Coastal Carolina just played for a national championship after winning the Sun Belt regular season championship and tournament. So good for those guys. But Texas State obviously in line to make a lot more money as they expand the Pac-12. And again, it's just so weird to me to see like USC and UCLA in the Big Ten, Stanford and those guys in the ACC. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And especially in a day and time that we're talking so much about money and expenses, you know, you still got to send your softball team. You still got to send your volleyball team. You know, and all of that's expensive, you know. And so it's a much different dynamic as we navigate through college sports. But, you know, we always have this every year in the summer, it seems like in recent years, we've had this conference expansion discussion. We talk about not getting a lot of time off, and again, I'm not complaining, but the silly season, as people call it, It's incredible how much the silly season matters as much, if not more so in some scenarios, than the actual playing seasons. You know, because we have the coaching changes, now you've got all this portal traffic, and now you've got, it seems like every year people are changing conferences. It's nice for us, and sometimes, like, I'm a fan of chaos when it doesn't negatively impact us. And so when I see all these things happen around the country, you know, I remember years ago when they were talking about the Pac-16, they were going to add Texas and Oklahoma, and, you know, they're going to raid the Big 12, and then here we are. You know, now many of those teams that were in the Pac-12 are either in the ACC, the Big 12, or the Big 10. It's a completely weird dynamic how it all changes. And not a lot of it makes sense, but it's all driven by money, as you guys are well aware. But I think that's an interesting dynamic, too, that Texas State, now a part of the Pac-12, which will make them the Pac-9. And I go back and I think about this Oregon State and Washington State thing, and I had somebody tell me Washington State had the lowest budget in the Power 4/5. And you got to wonder now, would you consider the Pac-12 a Power 5 conference? Are we going to change the vernacular again and go back to Power 5? I don't think that there's enough teams with enough budget to justify that for that conference. But it is so incredible to see how this conference has folded. And if you remember so much about the COVID discussion, you know, the Big Ten was kind of the big brother in that arrangement. And so the Pac-12 was going to go along with whatever the Big Ten did. And if you recall, both of them were expected to vote to cancel football season. And Greg Sankey and the ACC got together. They convinced the Big 12 to stay with them. And I think everybody ended up playing some semblance of a schedule other than the Patriot League or maybe the Ivy League. I can't remember which. I think it was Ivy League, which stands to reason. But it was in many respects, I think it was a tipping point when it came to the power struggle within college athletics. To me, I think it demonstrated that Greg Sankey was the most powerful man in college athletics to get this thing done. And I love what he said back then. People needed something to cheer for. You know, they didn't just need to sit around watching Netflix and, you know, eating DoorDash all the time. We needed something to kind of get the country moving again. And I think, you know, football was a big part of that. And I have personally thanked Greg Sankey for his efforts to make that happen, just because I think it was important for all of us. But again, changing landscape in college football. I look forward to a day when things kind of settle a little bit, and I don't know if they ever will, at least not in my lifetime. But I look forward to things kind of settling, us kind of getting our arms around NIL compensation and rev share and what we're going to do to the portal. And along those lines, too, the baseball portal window is too big. It's too big. And what I mean by that is, guys know they're going to transfer. I mean, you see, like, a bunch of guys, they go, and there's a big rush the first few days of getting in the portal. And then there's just kind of a lull, and there'll be a few guys that'll get in late. Because I think what happens is all of a sudden guys think, okay, I've had my exit meeting. I've got a good idea. I'm going to have an expanded role next year. And then all of a sudden you see a couple of new guys that commit. Maybe it's your position. Maybe you're a pitcher. And then you see some guys come in from the portal, and you start wondering, you know, if this is going to happen. You know, some of that will happen with Cade O'Leary. You know, everything seemed to be cool, and then all of a sudden, I just need a reset. Well, we're going to have a reset. You know, we're going to have a reset. We've got a new coaching staff. But if you're Cade O'Leary, you're not going to have a new pitching coach. And maybe you just kind of feel like, you know what, the same guy last year that only let me pitch 2 innings is back, so maybe I need to kind of look to start again, maybe. I think Cade O'Leary's got talent. You know, there's a reason he's at Florida State. There's a reason he was at Mississippi State. But I think the longer this portal goes, the longer you give other people in this process the chance to kind of manipulate things. Just go ahead and get it done. I mean, do we really need the portal to run basically the full month of June? To me, that didn't make any sense. You know, and while we're on that topic, I think we need to eliminate the spring portal for football except for grad transfers. I think you do the December portal, and there's a few reasons why, right? I think the most important one is for the good of the game and for the good of the student-athlete, they need to have the benefit of spring practice. Then you have a secondary window in the spring for grad transfers. If there are people out there that need the spring to finish up their degree requirements, then they would have the opportunity to transfer in the spring. I don't know why we need two portals and portal windows. We discussed this before, too. There are some people out there on the agent side that have tried to manipulate this for their own financial gain. And there are a lot of people involved in college athletics. It shouldn't be. You know, let's just be honest about that. There are a lot of people out there that are exploiting these young men and women for their own gain. And listen, there are a lot of other people doing it the right way. But there are other people out there, too, that the fees that they're charging these student athletes as commissions ridiculous. And so we got to get our arms around that thing, too. But it's a strange new world. And I remember when we first started talking about NIL and a transfer portal, and it's incredible what it's become. And I think for many of you, and I think I speak on behalf of college sports fans as a whole, is that there's just so much fatigue about all this. I just want to play the games, right? I want to go cheer for my favorite team. I want to go see my favorite team win games of significance. And the rest of this political stuff that's going on, you know, I know we have to cover it. I know we have to talk about it because it impacts the roster of our teams. But we've lost something of significance, I believe. Now, my love for Mississippi State is unwavering. My loyalty to each and every one of you, unwavering. My love for the M over S, the maroon and white, the famous maroon band, those things will never change. But it's not like it used to be. And maybe that's a good thing. I've always been a proponent for the student athlete, and I think they should be compensated in some respects. But, you know, and maybe we found, you know, the first steps towards the final steps in that regard. But we are in a scenario now, I think, that things are beginning to calm a little bit. And I think you guys will maybe not have a sense of normalcy, but I think maybe a sense of calm that things are returning to a new sense of normalcy. I think that is probably the most important thing. But there's always going to be crazy things that come along, and there's going to be people that file lawsuits and try to get rules changed and things like that, and that's the way that we live. And along those lines, too, and I started to talk about this the other day, I don't like to get political. I'm largely apolitical, but I have some very strong political beliefs about certain topics. I'm not going to share those because I don't want to ostracize anybody. I value all of you as listeners, and we may disagree on some things, and that's okay, because Mississippi State is what unites us. But one of the things that I want to get back to is there will be a tragedy, right? There will be something. There will be an incident where perhaps somebody loses their life. And we have become so tribalistic and polarizing in our opinions about this stuff. I think one of the things that's important to understand, no matter, I'm not going to name anything specifically because I mean this as a general conversation. As a guy that broke his mom's heart, you know, went to jail, right? Drug rehab, all that kind of stuff. And I can't begin to imagine, you know, the times that I made my mom worry, right? But I lived. I lived. There are a lot of people out there that didn't. And it seems like every day I pop up on Facebook, there's somebody that's lost a friend or a family member earlier than they should have or they felt they should have. But when something untoward happens, I want us to please remember that every family member of both families is negatively impacted. Every one of those people. Like everything that I've ever done, right? It's been my fault, right? There's a few things. I've been victimized too, right? Don't get me wrong. But I made decisions. And when you choose behavior, you choose the consequence, right? And so I took my lick. I didn't go turn state's evidence against anybody. I took my lick. And I put it behind me. But there are a lot of families out there that something happens that is more traumatic than getting arrested on some, you know, drug charges or, you know, nonviolent offenses. There are some things that happen out there. And none of those families will ever be the same again. Ever. And some of the stuff that I see on social media is just so incredibly shameful, right? And that's not to say that everybody involved in these things are good people. You know, it's not up to me to judge that, you know, but, you know, there's a book out there that I like a lot that talks about you will know them by their fruit. And so I share that with you because I think it's important for us not to pick sides. The only sides are good and evil. Like, we get it every time. Like, it's so funny. Like, something will happen, isn't it? And I mean funny in a terrible way, not funny in a ha-ha way, maybe in a strange and peculiar way. Somebody will kill somebody else. And then in the first comments on Facebook, it's about, well, I bet that person voted for so-and-so. What does that matter? Is that going to bring that person back? Is that going to, you know, help somebody at trial who they voted for? I don't care who you voted for. What I care about is you show up at Davis Wade Stadium ringing a cowbell. You wear an M-over-S cap in the springtime. You walk out there with your chest bowed up during basketball season, you know, because we're prepared to take on anybody. But there's just so much of this that it's just, you know, there are sometimes I think to myself that I am aging out. And what I mean by that is just the social media age, the way that some people have their lives and their persona is based on their shtick on social media. And I just don't want any part of that. You know, I want to be known for who I am. Granted, I have to communicate on social media to get our content out to you guys, and we have a message board, and I've got to be able to handle those things. But some of this other stuff that's really not really sports related, the stuff that I see on social media, it just absolutely drives me crazy. And so I find myself sometimes just trying to avoid the comment section. There's sometimes I would love to get in the comments because some people are really funny. But when somebody loses their life, there's nothing funny about that. And I'll die on that hill, pardon the pun. But, you know, we had this situation that happened on 220. Tragedy. If you don't know it, you can look it up. I've traded some messages with Clay Edwards about that telling him he should FOIA those 911 calls. But, yeah, I see people picking sides on that. There's no side to pick. You know, we had somebody that was killed in an unfortunate situation in an accident after having some car trouble and could not get services from the Jackson Police Department. And that's just inexcusable. That's inexcusable. And I've seen some people on Facebook like trying to defend it. There is no defense of that. And that's where I think good people like us can stand up and say, no, this has to change. Okay? This has to change. There's so many other things that we can debate about, but you know what? When somebody is injured in a car accident and they call 911, and I don't know all the details behind that job, okay? But when somebody calls 911, help should be on the way. They shouldn't have to call back 3 and 4 times and then eventually die. Shouldn't happen that way. And so I don't want to end on a somber note, and so I want you guys to understand I love each and every one of you. I want good things to happen in your life. The things that I want for myself, I want for you. And, you know, I share this about, you know, recovery all the time. And I've got down days, too. I mean, life still happens to me. Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. I'm happy. I've got so much going for me. I got so many things to be happy about. And so if you're a person that maybe is having a down day, and I'm going to give you one of the things that I do that helps me, and it's helped many others. Because sometimes we forget. Just get a pen and paper out, and I want you to just start writing everything down that you're grateful for. Everything. Just write it down, and then look at it, and add to it as you go. And I suspect by the time that you get towards the end of that list, you'll be in a better mood. Because many of the things that we had today are the things that we wished for yesterday. And let's not take those things for granted. And focus so much on what could be coming down the road. Focus on what we have and who we have. Good, bad, or indifferent. Hey, let's get out of here. If you hadn't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com. You can get all my signed sports titles there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and The Dude. And, of course, When the Bottom Falls as well. If you're a person that is in recovery or need to be in recovery, you know somebody in recovery, you want to just learn more about recovery, or you want to read an underdog story, or find out more about your good friend and host. You can read When the Bottom Falls. And come float with us at True Rest Floats by Starkville. Call 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife. She can answer any questions you may have about floating. You can learn more at truerest.com. You can download the True Rest app, and you can even book your appointment online. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. The final days of the 50% off the annual subscription price, so please be sure and take care of that. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.